Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road tons during the month of June. We're going to start in the month of May. We're going Friday. We will be at Fadley's down at Lexington Market. I think Luke and I are going to talk about drawing walks as the Tampa Rays come to town this weekend. We're going to be doing all month long Maryland Crab Cake Tour stops courtesy of the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our partners at Jiffy Lube MultiCare as well as Liberty Pure Solutions. And we're taking it everywhere. I'm wearing my Pappas shirt right now. Pappas is actually the final stop of the month. We're going to be at Costas later this month. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be back at Fadley's. We're working with our friends at Cooper's and Sláinte. Happy to have Patrick Russell and his team aboard. They're doing Fleet Week down in Fells Point later on this month. We're going to be talking about that. So we're going to be everywhere we go. We're going to be going this month and having crab cakes and shrimp and oysters. I'm putting an oyster tour together in September. September will be the month that the Ravens make their debut in Kansas City, kick off the season. And Luke is kicking off not one, but two OTAs here this week as we get up on mandatory. Man, you go back a year into the Wayback Machine and Lamar Jackson and money and contracts and who's here and who's the wide receiver and look at OBJ and where we are with all of that. It really does feel like, A, you and I spend a lot of oxygen talking about Kyle Stowers and Adley Rutschman and John Means and Dean Kramer and the Orioles play 8 days a week and like all of that. But the football thing feels like it is way back burnered, especially now that the schedule's out. If you want to go to Dallas week three, you can do that. If you want to go out to L.A. And see SoFi Stadium, I recommend Pearl Jam in the parking lot more from last week. But, it's quiet, and we're about to have this bang of mandatories. And, you're out there with Zrebeck and Hensley saying, who's here today, who's not, who's got excused absence, who's participating, who's not participating, and all of that. But it's just quiet right now, right? And we're all baseballed up around here, as we should be.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, as I say to you all the time when we get into this, and the NFL obviously disagrees with this sentiment, but it's okay to have seasons. It's okay for something to be on the back burner for a little while, despite the NFL's best efforts in that regard. But you said it, and so much of it has to do with just the fact that the Orioles are relevant and battling it out with the Yankees for first place and on pace to win 100 plus games for the second straight year, which is something the Orioles haven't done since what, 69 and 70? I mean, the impressive stuff, going back, that long to think about the glory days and all that. So in the meantime, you have the Ravens who, look, I think there's still tons of excitement. I don't think it's a case where people are tuned out because of lack of interest. It's just that it's still a long ways away. I saw Adam Schefter very early Tuesday morning, like 4 a.m., kind of like, dude, do you ever sleep? Made mention that it was 100 days out from the Ravens kicking off in Kansas City against the Chiefs for the NFL season opener. So, we're coming up on 3 months out from the start of the 2024 season, but we're still 3 months out. And yeah, OTAs, there's interest in terms of who's there and who's not, and who's lining up at left guard, who's lining up at right guard, who's at right tackle. How's everyone look? Is everyone in shape? What's Lamar's weight? I mean, that was the big story the first week
of OTAs.
Yeah,
the Lamar weight thing. You and I haven't discussed that. And and here's where I'm going to get flippant with you, because I did get offered that seller on eBay offered me that the King Henry jersey, the 22 Oiler jersey, at a discount, offered like $39. It still wasn't cheap. But I don't know. I at $40, I probably screwed the pooch at $6. But I wanted to get it. Why don't you like the Derrick Henry thing? Can we talk? But as it relates to Lamar and Lamar being thinner, faster, I don't even know what that means. You want him to be faster for what purpose? Because you don't want him to run as much. I don't know. But give me philosophically where you are on all that, because the offensive line's still the biggest question. We're not going to skip the lead here for the team and where they're going to be and how they're going to run the ball and how the offense is going to work in year two for Monken. But how are you feeling about the news of camp?
Yeah, I mean, the weight thing. First of all, I just find it interesting that we're just seeing these swings, that it's fluctuated, that, a couple years ago, it was important for him to be up around, what was it, 230 pounds. And look, Do I think, let me be very clear. Do I think that this is going to be a major issue come week one? No, not even close. And the number of questions that Lamar got about his weight, I thought it was a bit much, even for late May, and understanding that not everyone that's out there is covering, two sports like I am, where, very much my attention is much more on the Orioles these days than the Ravens. But I get it. And I do think it's fascinating because I think back to, and you can certainly attest to this, but I think back to Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharpe, who famously Shannon Sharpe talked at when he was on the back nine of his career that he kind of made it a goal that he would drop 5 pounds every year just to try to maintain speed. But that's you're talking about a whatever he was at the time, 32 years old, whatever it is. I mean, Lamar's 27. He's not 21 anymore, but he's not on the back nine or anything like that either. So I do find it interesting, and I do find it, I'm amused by pro Lamar can do no wrong fans saying they love the fact that he's dropping pounds when they were probably the same people saying they love the fact that he put on some weight a couple years ago to take more hits. And that's where I'm just like, which is it, one or the other? And then the Lamar detractors, the people who Lamar can do no right in their eyes, didn't like that he put on weight 2 years ago and don't like that he's dropping weight 2 years later. So I find most of the discourse to be silly. But
Well, there's
we'll
two
see.
MVPs now, right? So, anybody who's perceived as being someone that would question quarterbacks running into linebackers, like the host here, is perceived as being a heretic at this point, that you're not a
I
true
mean,
believer. But, I mean,
I
if you're a
think there's
believer in
middle
him, you're a
ground.
believer in him at any weight.
Yeah, but there's middle ground here. I mean, I think it's fair to say, okay, makes sense. I saw him maybe not look quite as fast last year as he had looked in previous years. How much of that is weight, and how much of that is a 27-year-old athlete inherently is probably not going to be as fast as he was at age 21, 22, 23. That's just the nature of human beings as they age, right? So the
I
thought
think
of
some of that's
dropping
first step with him too, because I mean, first
maybe
couple of years, he they were designed plays, and he went in knowing
sure.
he's taking the ball, knowing there's an 80% chance he's going to keep the ball in the fold and the tuck. Even when Mark Ingram was around and they were playing the electric, football games that they were playing, there's something about knowing you're carrying the ball. His carries now have been much more born of escape,
Scrambles.
and there's something about not knowing what you're doing that you're not confident to have first step to sprint. So I do think he looks a little slower, but he's not slow. I
No.
he's not
Slower,
slow.
not slow. Right. Exactly. I mean, that would be crazy to think that. So I see that side of it. But on the flip side, I think it's fair to say, hey, how much is too much, knowing that you're going to have at least three new starters on your offensive line, and there could be some questions there. Not even so much the design runs, but just, hey, you could get hit in the pocket a little bit, especially early in the year if you're trying to figure out your guard spots and, if Roger Rosengarten's going to be ready to start as a rookie at right tackle or not. So, there's some of that. That said, the amount of oxygen we've given it, we've spent 5 minutes, 3 minutes talking about this. Do I think this is going to be a major subplot to the 2024 season? Not really. I
What's
for
the
one,
why, though? I mean,
he wants to be
what's.
I think he wants to be a little more agile. I think, look, any athlete, whether you're talking about Lamar Jackson or Adley Rutschman, or go back to previous generations, Cal Ripken, Ray Lewis, whoever, Ed Reed, they know their bodies better than anyone else. And even though now in this day and age, that they wear the catapult vests that they can track how fast they are during practices and all of that, there's still something for an athlete to be confident in his own ability and to know where he is physically, know where he is speed-wise, strength-wise, all those different things. And I think Lamar, in response to maybe not quite being as qu quite as fast as he was in previous years, to say, maybe I'll shed a few pounds. Now, what his weight is on Memorial Day weekend compared to what it is week one, that's where I think we're probably making too much of this. I'm guessing wherever the team thinks he should be and wherever he thinks he should be from a diet standpoint, working out, all those different things, how many calories you're in, your calorie intake, all those different things. he'll be where he needs to be week one.
But the noticeable part about him changing, I mean, when Ray Lewis was here, Terrell Suggs, we saw guys change shape, especially big guys, you know, losing 10, 15 pounds. It's very noticeable on Ray Lewis back in the day far as beefed up or beefed down. I just find this to be interesting, and I don't even know why, right? I mean, I've always been concerned with him breaking in half and him running into linebackers. The smaller he gets, the more he could theoretically elude such things, and that's important too. But there's also the part where, all right, this brings me back to why don't you like Derrick Henry as part of this? Why haven't you loved it? From a salary perspective, I sort of love the workhorse sort of idea of having that kind of guy who's trying to get to the Hall of Fame. And it also tells me, I think that Lamar's going to run less. And they had to have known that when they drafted him years ago, even with two MVPs and all the money they've given him and all that. The idea was never to run him 12 to 15 times a game. And if he's smaller, it makes it even all the better that he throws the football and acts as a decoy as opposed to a running back.
I don't know if I agree that the idea was never to run him 12 to 15 times a game. Their offense did not reflect that. I think that was always the plan. Now, certainly the evolution, it's not a Derrick. Let me be very clear about this. I love Derrick Henry. Where are the Ravens ranked in their running game the last 5 years? They've been the best running team in football in the last 5 years, and they've spent nothing on running backs. So why do you feel so compelled that you need to do it now? That's inherent. That's the gist of my argument.
I guess when they needed one in January, they pretended they didn't have one.
I mean, I guess, but they still had the number one ranked running game in the NFL last year. The numbers don't lie. I mean, period. They just did. So my thought is, why are you spending money on something that has not been a prop? At no point over the last 5 years did I ever once think that the missing piece for them was having a stud 2,000-yard running back. Never, ever, ever thought that was the reason. Gus Edwards did a heck of a job for them over the last 5 years. You know, they plugged and played veteran guys off the street that did a decent job for them. That's the gist of my argument for that. Now, that said, it comes down to this. Is Derrick Henry going to help them win games in January? If he does, then it's a great move. If Derrick Henry rushes for 1,500 yards in the regular season, but he's worn down come the divisional round, I'm unimpressed with the decision and the philosophical move to do that. It's all about January. Everything they do at this point, all about January. That sounds flippant. We're going to talk about, we're talking about OTAs right now. We're going to talk about mini camp.
It is flipping, and it is early for you to even say that, but it's true.
It's true. There is nothing this team can do at this point that
go beat Kansas City, come home, beat the Raiders.
I'm going to pick on the Bills.
If they're 4-0 when the Orioles play game one, it won't mean anything.
I mean, it's great. It means something in the sense that you still have to play well. You don't get an automatic bid to the playoffs just because you've been there the last, five of the last 6 years. So you have to be good enough to get there. We all understand that. And we're going to talk about the games and there's importance to it, but in a big picture sense, I'm going to pick on someone because I found the premise to just be beyond silly. Robert Griffin III was talking about the Ravens schedule and, it was kind of implying that the NFL did them a favor because, as much as there's been some focus on their Christmas stretch where they have three games in 11 days, if you look at them, people track net rest and the Ravens have a pretty distinct advantage over their opponents as far as having more rest going into various matchups. And he was implying that maybe this is what gets the Ravens over the hump. And I just did a double take when I heard that. Nothing about the regular season has anything to do with them getting over the hump. It's all about January.
Yeah, 2 weeks of rest last year.
They were 13-4 last year. They had the best record in the NFL. They had the best point differential in the NFL. They had the best defense in the NFL. They had the MVP at quarterback. 5 years ago in 2019, same thing. Like everything I just reeled off, other than the defense wasn't the best, but it was top five. Nothing about their regular. There is nothing, literally nothing, that can happen in the regular season that does it. It's decided they're getting over the hump in January. I again, and that's where it sounds flippant. They have to play well enough to make the playoffs. I, duh, Captain Obvious, right? They go 7-10 because Lamar gets hurt and some other guys get hurt and they kick the ball around. Yeah, then that's a different conversation. But it's not as though 13-4, oh, well, if they go 15-2 this year, I'm convinced that January is going to be a different story. No, they just have to go do it. That's why I've said to you almost, tongue in cheek, but there might even be some merit to it that I do wonder for this team if and when they break through, if it's going to be the year where they are maybe a wild card and the expectations are lower and you're not thinking about them, in terms of number one seed and home field advantage. And I wonder if that's the year that they catch lightning in a bottle and they go on the run that like Joe Flacco did in 2012. But that th this notion that, that RG3 was saying that the schedule could make the difference for them. Why? They were in perfect position last year. They hosted the AFC title game. So, and that's what's challenging about
I
this.
looked at their schedule in December and think they better be relatively healthy. They better be ready to play in December
But we,
because a
but
lot
we,
is, yeah.
yeah, but we said the same thing last year, right? I mean, the schedule was tough in December last year, and they were gangbusters. Yeah, they rolled over teams. So that's why it was so frustrating last year, because it was all sitting there right for them. But this is where I will bring it back, as I took my shot at RG3, which, I have nothing personal. I just thought it was kind of a silly take. This idea that the regular season schedule was the difference in getting over the hump. No, I mean, it has nothing to do with that. But Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, Kyle Hamilton, they all spoke, after the first OTA that was open to the media. And Lamar said, was asked about if he's gotten over it, the AFC Championship game loss. And he said he felt like he was kind of just finally getting over it because they're back on the field doing team stuff. 2024 is underway. Zay Flowers said he still hasn't gotten over it. And Kyle Hamilton, his quote was, "We need to right our wrongs and get to a Super Bowl." I mean, this team, it's a long time until January. I mean, it really is. And we talked about this a little bit, 19-20, after they were 14-2 in 2019 and home field, and then the Titans stunned, absolutely, it was stunning, the way they lost that game. This was a little different because, it wasn't, the Titans were not, they weren't of any ilk, their stature wasn't anything impressive. Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs, but they were at home and they were the favorite and they were expected to break through this time around. So when you're in a position where it's late May and you have June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, late January, I mean, that many months away until you're back on that stage, that's a grind mentally for this football team right now. And that I don't say that with any expectation that I think that they're going to have this major drop off. I think they're going to be really good again. Are they going to be the number one seed? Well, tell me how healthy they're going to be, and tell me how healthy Kansas City is going to be, and tell me how healthy Cincinnati is going to be, and does Houston take the next step? Buffalo looks like they're probably taking a step back, but they still have Josh Allen. So it's still the AFC. Aaron
Well, in the
Rodgers
first
with the
month,
Jets. I
the
mean,
first month with Kansas City, Dallas, and Buffalo, it's like okay, you're 3-1, 4-0 at that point. You got
you're
something,
feeling good.
but you're playing real games here early. You're not getting the JV to start the season by any stretch of the imagination.
No
And
doubt.
we've already gone through that Christmas gauntlet of how kind of crazy the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season is, and where teams are in regard to all that. They got to put their britches on. Last year doesn't
Sure.
matter. Last year's a long time ago.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's where I kind of said the mental grind of this. Like, you can't get complacent as much. Look, I can be flippant about the regular season because I'm sitting in the press box. I'm watching the game on TV. I'm watching practices from the sideline. Like, I'm not in it. So, but for those guys, as much as you're focused on getting back to the AFC Championship game and breaking through this time and wanting another shot at Kansas City, and no, I'm not talking about a Thursday night week 1 game. It'll be fun, but it's week 1. It's not January. It's not remotely the same thing. It's not remotely anything that should be considered as revenge, even though you're going to hear people use that word. But it's important for their psyche. I think it's important for their early season confidence. And to your point, you better start fast because you're facing some tough teams early on. And you don't want to be in a position where you're, heaven forbid, 2-3, and Cincinnati gets off to a 5-0 start, and suddenly you're chasing them for the North, let alone thinking about the number one seed or anything like that. So, the schedule is not going to afford them too many stretches where you say, all right, this is a chance to breathe. You can look at a couple pockets where the games aren't quite as imposing on paper, even though we know that that in and of itself is kind of a dangerous game when you're trying to think about what a team was last year and knowing, you know, trying to think what they
well,
are
you
this
see
year.
Giants and Commanders and you're like, they stink. That's
yeah.
how you feel about it.
I mean, the Giants, yeah. I mean, with Washington, though, I'll say this much, and you know me, I have no love loss for that team down the road. I've never have. But I think the quarterback that they drafted, I like him. I really do like him. So, look, does that mean that they're going to have a 2018 Lamar-like, you know, kind of lift, and they're a team that's in the playoff race? Probably not. Especially
I like
that
Joe
early.
Theismann, but that was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Jaden Daniels, I like. I think they – I venture to say they may have finally found the guy. Now, we'll see. But I loved watching him play in college. But they're also facing them in week six. So, yeah, I mean, Denver's on the schedule. Vegas is on the schedule. I mean, I think those are two of the – you know, nondescript as nondescript gets in terms of teams that – you know, I don't think Vegas is terrible. I think they've got a decent roster, but who's playing quarterback for them?
You better not lose to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I don't think they will. But you know, but you look at the schedule. I mean, it's in terms of basing it off of last year, which I know is a really not so great thing to reliable thing to do most times. But based off of that of that premise, you know, it is a challenging schedule, and they're going to have a lot of teams that are looking at them on the schedule and saying, hey, we got to play our best. You know, they're going to get their best. You know, they're not the defending champion like Kansas City, but people know who this team has been the last few years and how good they've been when Lamar is on the field and healthy. So, you know, it's a grind. It really is. And, you know, that's why it's so important to lay the groundwork now. You know, as much as OTAs in isolation are extremely inconsequential, we know that. But it's part of the process, and this is a very long process for them. That you know they've got to stack days and get better, and just
well, the
try
offensive
to...
line, we don't even know what it is. So
right, exactly, and that's where and right, and you know we're obviously right now we've been talking more in terms of like the 30,000 foot look at where this team is. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, what is the offensive line going to look like? I mean, the first week of practice or first week of OTAs was not what I, you know, was not. Deviation from what I expected. Veteran players. Falele's been in the system for a few years, so he was at right tackle, even if Rosengarten probably is going to be the right tackle. They had, you know, the guy I think people need to at least remember in the back of their mind, Josh Jones. Got him from Houston. He's played in the league a little bit. You know, he's kind of, I think he has a chance to be this year's John Simpson, and it doesn't mean he's going to be a great player, but if he's their starting left guard week one, you probably shouldn't be shocked, because I don't think at this time last year we thought John Simpson was going to be the guy, and he started every game for them at left guard last year. So, you know, but veteran players, you know, Ben Cleveland at right guard, you hope that he's ready. You know, he played well filling in for Zeitler the last couple of years, albeit very brief, small samples.
You know, we talk so much about the Orioles and Elias and getting players ready and getting them, you know, ready to play. The Ravens have, by and large, done okay at this spot on the offensive line of addressing it. And as much as you and I aren't 100% comfortable, I guess they're comfortable, right? This is what they've built. They feel pretty confident in what they have right now.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where, look, and this is where you would make the point to me, as I've kind of told you my philosophical stance on paying a running back and not really being all that gung-ho about, and again, it's not Derrick Henry specifically, it's just that idea in general, where you'd say, well, you might need a little more help with your offensive line opening running lanes, you know, and have a back that if there's only a small crease, you want him to make sure he sees it and he hits it, you know, and hits that running lane. But I mean, do I think they're comfortable? No. Do I think they have a confidence level that, you know, from a calculated standpoint, they feel that at least a couple of these young guys are going to step forward? And if they need to, they can go make a move for a guard in August or for a right tackle in August, much like they did with Jadeveon Clowney and Ronald Darby last August, who, you know, Clowney was their best outside linebacker and Darby was a quality starting caliber outside corner for them last year when Marlon Humphrey missed so much time. So I think there's some calculated risk here. I think John Harbaugh, if he was being truthful with you, would say there's still some unknown. But, you know, we drafted Voorhees in the seventh round last year as a redshirt situation because we thought he was a fourth round kind of player, a third or fourth round kind of player before he tore his ACL at the combine. So he was a medical redshirt, for lack of a better term, and now we think he's got a chance to maybe be our left guard. Ben Cleveland, as much as we were down on him 2 years ago, he has gotten better over the last couple of years. And hey, he filled in pretty nicely for Kevin Zeitler last year, who was another year older and more expensive. So we figured, hey, Ben Cleveland, this might be, you know, what we saw with Ben Powers 2 years ago, which was, hey, had a really nice season and doesn't mean we're going to pay him, but he might earn himself a nice payday somewhere. And with Rosengarten, they would say, look, we know that a second round pick, it's ambitious to expect him to start from day one, but we like him. We think he's got good footwork. We think with our transition going from more of the gap power kind of blocking scheme that they did more of under Greg Roman and now shifting to more zone blocking, we think Rosengarten's got the feet that he can do a really nice job with that. Doesn't mean he's going to be a Pro Bowl player, but hey, Morgan Moses wasn't a Pro Bowl player last year. So I think John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta probably scrimmage through these different scenarios and say, look, not everything's going to go perfectly. And look, there might be someone who gets hurt. Mandatory minicamp week goes down with an injury, and that might change the calculus a little bit. But we feel we have enough options, and we feel that there are enough guys out there or potentially available via trades elsewhere that we'll kind of see how this plays out. And if we get to the third week of August and we say, you know what, probably need another veteran starter, I think they'll show they have the wherewithal to go do that, because we've seen them do that, whether it's a trade or to go sign someone. So, you know, I think right now they're in evaluation mode as much as you can evaluate offensive line play when they're in helmets and shells and shorts. But, you know, I think there's a measured level of confidence that they feel that they're going to find at least a couple answers. And if they have to go and make a trade, go sign someone in August 16th and make sure he's ready for week one, then I think they're prepared to do that. But for right now, they very much had a goal in mind of getting younger, cheaper. And I think the big key, and I asked this of Todd Monken last week, he downplayed it a little bit, but I think it's evident in the type of players they've drafted the last year or two and moving away from some of the guys they moved away from. They're trying to get more athletic. I mean, I think there's always been this sense, especially under Greg Roman, of just wanting big, powerful, physical guys. And that's not to say you don't want physicality, but I think there is more of a concerted effort for guys to be a little more athletic. And Linderbaum's a great example of this. What did we hear about when he was drafted? Oh, he's too light. He's lighter than the typical center the Ravens have employed over the last decade. Linderbaum can play. And even if the rare matchup against a 340-pound nose tackle where maybe he struggles a tiny little bit, he more than makes up for with his ability to get to the second level and block in space and do what he does at the center position. I think they want more of that moving forward out of their offensive line. And I think they feel that Rosengarten can be that. I think they feel that Voorhees has a chance to be that. And certainly, you know, Linderbaum being the anchor for them moving forward. So, you know, they're in transition. There's no doubt. And their questions inevitably come with that. But I do feel that there's a measured level of confidence that they're going to at least come up with a couple answers here. And then if they have to go out and get somebody to fortify things a little bit, then I think they're willing and prepared to do that.
Ronnie Stanley, you know, so I'm just going to say that out. We haven't said that out loud. But, you know, I would say this for where they are in this offensive line, and they feel a little more confident than maybe we do at this point, as they've laid all this out. They've been at this a long time. And as much as it's quiet over there, to your point, they're pro-personnelling their tails off about who's in camp and other places and where it could all be. And it's still early on enough that they're going to gauge their own guys, right? I mean, they're out there taking a look at the young guys they have right now and figuring out this is the sorting out period, right?
Yeah, no question. You mentioned Ronnie Stanley. Look, from not counting his first couple of years, Ronnie Stanley was not a guy that was out there for OTAs in recent years. And a lot of that had to do with his health, right? I mean, literally, he was rehabbing. But, otherwise was not the kind of guy that you would expect to be out there for OTAs, other than maybe showing up for a couple. You know how it typically works. Kevin Zeitler types, they show up for a couple OTAs and then you don't see them for a couple weeks. And then they're back for minicamp. And that's kind of the way it goes for any non-quarterback veteran, basically. But Ronnie Stanley was out there the first week and taking every rep, and very much you see a guy that he's reading the room, knowing where he is at this point in his career. Already took a pay cut. They already voided the last year of his deal, so he's in a contract year. He knows that he's playing for a payday, whether it's with the Ravens or whether it's with another team. And it's not just the payday, he's playing for a contract period, wanting to show that he's still a starting caliber quality left tackle in this league, which he struggled last year. He was closer to below average than above average last year. I mean, some of the criticism might have been a little harsh, but he was not very good for large stretches of last season. So he's out there for OTAs. And as much as we talk about left guard, right guard, and right tackle, because we know that the starters are gone from those three spots, boy, you don't want to add left tackle to that. So you need a version of Ronnie Stanley that is, one, he's got to stay on the field, which story of his career, unfortunately. And two, it's got to be effective. Now, do I think he's going to be the 2019 All-Pro version of Ronnie Stanley? I'm not sure that guy exists anymore. I don't know physically if you can expect that, but it needs to be a better version than we saw last
Yeah,
year.
what does the
And I
team
think,
really expect? That's the question. They expect enough that like he's here and he expects enough that he's in there saying, I can show you I can do this, because that's what's going to be necessary. There's no scholarship for him at this point, right? Literally.
No, there isn't. And I mean, my
And it's
goodness,
too
we're already talking.
important. It's way
Right. Well,
important.
I was just going to say, I mean, you're already talking about three new starters. If you have a Ronnie Stanley who's not good and is on and off the field, and you're now looking at Patrick McCary having to play left tackle or Josh Jones having to play left tackle, then you're really talking about an offensive line that
And then you
you're
might not like Derrick
concerned.
Henry on Monday mornings, and I might not like Lamar Jackson on Monday mornings.
Yeah,
That's
I
right.
mean, and again, this goes back to all the other attrition that they've endured this offseason, right? Both got losing depth pieces on both sides of the ball,
Coaches.
losing starters on both sides of the ball, coaches, talking about wide receiver, talking about pass rush, whatever it is. Offensive line's really important. And we know that, and we've seen that, and we saw a couple years ago, even before Lamar got hurt in 21, where Ronnie Stanley came back and then was
Well, you're
gone
not going to
after.
get superior play from your offense across the
It's
board
really
with inferior offensive line play, no matter
difficult.
who your Mark Andrews and Lamar Jacksons are. They're not Houdini.
Correct. Even if you're not going to go to the morbid lengths of envisioning injury to your starting quarterback, which we've seen that in the past with Lamar. The Denver game 2 years ago where he gets sacked and lands on his knee funny and he's done for the year at
That's
that
how
point.
Flacco got hurt
But
too, right?
sure. Yeah. James Hurst, who got pushed right into Joe Flacco's leg. But you, even if you're not worried, even if that scenario doesn't occur, you need your offense to function at a high level. You need to be productive and efficient, and you want to be good on third down. And you need to, when you need to throw, you need to protect. And I think a big part of this, and we saw this last year, despite the offensive line's metrics, pass protection, all that looked pretty good, with Pro Football Focus and ESPN's pass block win rate, all these different metrics that, try to quantify something that's not easily quantifiable. But they've really struggled in five man protection last year. And I think moving on from Moses, not so much Zeitler. I think Zeitler, there was more concern with his age and his knee. Even though he played really well last year. And with John Simpson, I think there was very much a sentiment of this offensive line needs to get younger, and they want to have a group that can hold up in five-man protection. Because if you have five-man protection, that means you can have five guys out in routes. And if you can have five guys out in routes, and the defense has to devote those many resources to five players in coverage, then that makes it that much more difficult to keep Lamar Jackson contained in the pocket. So it's all related, right? It's all relative. I mean, it's a chain reaction, but all of that begins with, are you protecting up front? Are you opening running lanes for your backs, whether it's Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, or Keaton Mitchell coming back in December? You've got to do that, but you got to keep number eight upright and healthy. We've seen it over and over and over now. If Lamar Jackson is healthy, this team is an outstanding bet to be there for the divisional round. I mean, it's just the truth. Say what you want about what happens from that point, but that they've been there. So you need to keep them healthy, and that it's paramount. I mean, the most important thing to this team's success is number eight and him, his health. And what's the most important factor in keeping him healthy? The guys blocking for him. So, yeah, I mean, this is a huge year for Ronnie Stanley, and this is such a huge year for these young guys who've been waiting for their opportunity. So we're not going to get answers during OTAs or mandatory minicamp when they're still practicing in shorts, but you're seeing the beginnings of how that offensive line is going to look. And I expect a lot of movement. I expect a lot of rotating over these coming weeks and probably the start of training camp. But by about the 3rd week of August, you want it to come into focus. And that's why I said at that point, if they're not liking what they see, I'm guessing you're going to see Eric DaCosta go out and make a move if need be. But in the meantime, they're hoping a healthy Ronnie Stanley and these young guys stepping forward. It's going to be a different look, but they're hoping that the Ravens can be better in the long run for it.
Our Memorial Day leftovers include some Ravens, a lot of Orioles out there. Luke's covering the birds all week long. Bo Sox and Tampa in town this weekend. We'll be down at Fadley's on Friday. We're moving the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi Care, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions. And my water is so fresh and clean that I drank it all here. We're going to be this Friday at Fadley's, and then all month long, from Coco's to Pappas. We're going to be at Cooper's and Sláinte as well. Fleet Week coming up. The whole schedule will be up. Costas, we're doing it all. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, getting back out on the road, as well as no football this month, but baseball every single day. And we're going to be like before Blue Jays games at State Fair and before Yankees games at Costas. So check the schedule. Come on out, watch some baseball with us, and enjoy what's really turning out to be a pretty cool spring into summer where football's on the back burner around here, except not all the time. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.